No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today, it is the 12th day. It's the 12th day of the month of September. Okay, I'm gonna be done now. Welcome, everyone. It is so good to be here with you. We've turned the page in the story of our own lives. We've turned the page in the story of the Word of God, and we are one day closer through the entire Bible. We're doing this together. You do it individually. You do it collectively. And if you want to, you can do this in community. And it is a joy, a true privilege to be here and serving this beautiful community. In this capacity, we call it a safe space, and we try to keep it as safe as possible because, as believers, we should be the safest people on the planet. We should be the kindest people on the planet. We should be the most patient and faithful and true people as followers of Jesus. All of these things are available to us through His Spirit. The fruit of His Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the characteristics that let us know we are His, because His Spirit is in us, and as it is in us, it is overflowing out of us. So let's read the Word. Let's open our hearts to what the Spirit of God might speak to us. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and may we overflow with life more abundantly that only you can bring, God. Today we continue in the book of Ezekiel, reading chapters 46 through 48. Just a couple days left in the New Living Translation this week. Ezekiel Chapter 46. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The east gateway of the inner courtyard will be closed during the 6 work days each week, but it will be open on Sabbath days and the days of new moon celebrations. The prince will enter the entry room of the gateway from the outside. Then he will stand by the gatepost while the priest offers his burnt offering and peace offering. He will bow down and worship inside the gateway passage and then go back out the way he came. The gateway will not be closed until evening. The common people will bow down and worship the Lord in front of this gateway on Sabbath days and the days of the new moon celebrations. Each Sabbath day, the prince will present to the Lord a burnt offering of 6 lambs and 1 ram, all with no defects. He will present a grain offering of a basket of choice flour to go with the ram, and whatever amount of flour he chooses to go with each lamb, and he is to offer 1 gallon of olive oil for each basket of flour. At the new moon celebrations, he will bring 1 young bull, 6 lambs, and 1 ram, all with no defects. With the young bull, he must bring a basket of choice flour for a grain offering. With the ram, he must bring another basket of flour, and with each lamb, he is to bring whatever amount of flour he chooses to give. With each basket of flour, he must offer 1 gallon of olive oil. The prince must enter the gateway through the entry room, and he must leave the same way. But when the people come in through the north gateway to worship the Lord during the religious festivals, they must leave by the south gateway. And those who entered through the south gateway must leave by the north gateway. They must never leave by the same gateway they came in, but must always use the opposite gateway. The prince will enter and leave with the people on these occasions. So at the special feasts and sacred festivals, the grain offering will be a basket of choice flour with each young bull, another basket of flour with each ram, and as much flour as the worshiper chooses to give with each lamb. Give 1 gallon of olive oil with each basket of flour. when the prince offers a voluntary burnt offering or peace offering to the Lord, the east gateway to the inner courtyard will be opened for him, and he will offer his sacrifices as he does on Sabbath days. Then he will leave, and the gateway will be shut behind him. Each morning you must sacrifice a one-year-old lamb with no defects as a burnt offering to the Lord. With the lamb, a grain offering must also be given to the Lord, about 3 quarts of flour with 1/3 gallon of olive oil to moisten the choice flour. This will be a permanent law for you. The lamb, the grain offering, and the olive oil must be given as a daily sacrifice every morning without fail. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. If the prince gives a gift of land to one of his sons as his inheritance, it will belong to him and his descendants forever. But if the prince gives a gift of land from his inheritance to one of his servants, the servant may keep it only until the year of Jubilee, which comes every 50th year. At that time, the land will return to the prince. But when the prince gives gifts to his sons, those gifts will be permanent. And the prince may never take anyone's property by force. If he gives property to his sons, it must be from his own land. For I do not want any of my people unjustly evicted from their property. In my vision, the man brought me through the entrance beside the gateway and led me to the sacred rooms assigned to the priests, which faced toward the north. He showed me a place at the extreme west end of these rooms. He explained, "This is where the priests will cook the meat from the guilt offerings and sin offerings and bake the flour from the grain offerings into bread. They will do it here to avoid carrying the sacrifices through the outer courtyard and endangering the people by transmitting holiness to them." Then he brought me back to the outer courtyard and led me to each of its 4 corners. In each corner, I saw an enclosure. Each of these enclosures was 70 feet long and 52.5 feet wide, surrounded by walls. Along the inside of these walls was a ledge of stone with fireplaces under the ledge all the way around. The man said to me, "These are the kitchens to be used by the temple assistants to boil the sacrifices offered by the people." In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. He asked me, "Have you been watching, son of man?" Then he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, "This river flows east through a desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Divide the land in this way for the 12 tribes of Israel. The descendants of Joseph will be given 2 shares of land. Otherwise, each tribe will receive an equal share. I took a solemn oath and swore that I would give this land to your ancestors, and it will now come to you as your possession. These are the boundaries of the land. The northern border will run from the Mediterranean toward Hethlon, then on through Libo Hamath to Zedad. Then it will run to Beratha and Sibrium, which are on the border between Damascus and Hamath, and finally to Hazer Hatikon on the border of Haran. So the northern border will run from the Mediterranean to Hazar Enan, on the border between Hamath to the north and Damascus to the south. The eastern border starts at a point between Haran and Damascus and runs south along the Jordan River between Israel and Gilead, past the Dead Sea and as far south as Tamar. This will be the eastern border. The southern border will go west from Tamar to the waters of Meribah at Kadesh, and then follow the course of the Brook of Egypt to the Mediterranean. This will be the southern border. On the west side, the Mediterranean itself will be your border from the southern border to the point where the northern border begins, opposite Lebai Hamath. Divide the land within these boundaries among the tribes of Israel. Distribute the land as an allotment for yourselves and for the foreigners who have joined you and are raising their families among you. They will be like native-born Israelites to you and will receive an allotment among the tribes. These foreigners are to be given land within the territory of the tribe with whom they now live. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. Here is the list of the tribes of Israel and the territory each is to receive. The territory of Dan is in the extreme north. Its boundary line follows the Hethlon road to Libo Hamath, and then runs on to Hazar Enan on the border of Damascus, with Hamath to the north. Dan's territory extends all the way across the land of Israel from east to west. Asher's territory lies south of Dan's and also extends from east to west. Naphtali's land lies south of Asher's, also extending from east to west. Then comes Manasseh, south of Naphtali, and its territory also extends from east to west. South of Manasseh is Ephraim, and then Reuben, and then Judah, all of whose boundaries extend from east to west. South of Judah is the land set aside for a special purpose. It will be 8 1/3 miles wide, and will extend as far east and west as the tribal territories, with the temple at the center. The area set aside for the Lord's temple will be 8 1/3 miles long and 6 2/3 miles wide. For the priests, there will be a strip of land measuring 8 1/3 miles long by 3 1/3 miles wide, with the Lord's temple at the center. This area is set aside for the ordained priests, the descendants of Zadok, who served me faithfully and did not go astray with the people of Israel and the rest of the Levites. It will be their special portion when the land is distributed, the most sacred land of all. Next to the priests' territory will lie the land where the other Levites will live. The land allotted to the Levites will be the same size and shape as that belonging to the priests, 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide. Together, these portions of land will measure 8 1/3 miles long by 6 2/3 miles wide. None of this special land may ever be sold or traded or used by others, for it belongs to the Lord. It is set apart as holy. An additional strip of land, 8 1/3 miles long by 1 2/3 miles wide, south of the sacred temple area, will be allotted for public use, homes, pasture lands, and common lands, with a city at the center. The city will measure 1 1/2 miles on each side, north, south, east, and west. open lands will surround the city for 150 yards in every direction. Outside the city, there will be a farming area that stretches 3 1/3 miles to the east and 3 1/3 miles to the west along the border of the sacred area. This farmland will produce food for the people working in the city. Those who come from the various tribes to work in the city may farm it. This entire area, including the sacred lands and the city, is a square that measures 8 1/3 miles on each side. The areas that remain to the east and to the west of the sacred lands and the city will belong to the prince. Each of these areas will be 8 1/3 miles wide, extending in opposite directions to the eastern and western borders of Israel, with the sacred lands and the sanctuary of the temple in the center. So the prince's land will include everything between the territories allotted to Judah and Benjamin, except for the areas set aside for the sacred lands and the city. These are the territories allotted to the rest of the tribes. Benjamin's territory lies just south of the prince's lands, and it extends across the entire land of Israel from east to west. South of Benjamin's territory lies that of Simeon, also extending across the land from east to west. Next is the territory of Issachar with the same eastern and western boundaries. Then comes the territory of Zebulun, which also extends across the land from east to west. The territory of Gad is just south of Zebulun with the same borders to the east and west. The southern border of Gad runs from Tamar to the waters of Meribah at Kadesh, and then follows the Brook of Egypt to the Mediterranean. These are the allotments that will be set aside for each tribe's exclusive possession. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. These will be the exits to the city. On the north wall, which is 1.5 miles long, there will be 3 gates, each one named after a tribe of Israel. The first will be named for Reuben, the second for Judah, and the third for Levi. On the east wall, also 1.5 miles long, the gates will be named for Joseph, Benjamin, and Dan. The south wall, also 1.5 miles long, will have gates named for Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun. And on the west wall, also 1.5 miles long, the gates will be named for Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. The distance around the entire city will be 6 miles, and from that day, the name of the city will be The Lord is There. Okay, guys and gals, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the book of Ezekiel. And this was no joke. He did not come to play around. Well, he didn't come to play around for God. God was not playing. And so our takeaway of the book of Ezekiel, it is the tearing down and the hope of what is to come. But let's not get so hyper-focused on the new and what's coming that we forget what had to happen before the new could come. The old had to be done away with. The rebellious, the stubborn, the dead had to be broken off. However you would like to figuratively say it, to where those bells and whistles go off internally, what was never going to grow and be healthy again had to be cut, had to be pruned. God had to deal with the heart of his people that would not come voluntarily back to him upon every choice and every chance of not just turn and come back, repent, admit your sin, see the error of your ways, surrender your pride, lay it down, give up the fight. If you want perspective, let me say it this way. when you are in relationship with someone and the relationship seems to be quite unhealthy, and you learn what healthy is, and you healthily tell them, if you would like to have a relationship with me, one, these are the things that will no longer be allowed or take place. And secondly, this is how we will go about this. These are the boundaries. These are the non-negotiables. And that person is silent. And you wonder if they're unwilling or incapable. Unwilling to follow the boundaries or just incapable. And then you wonder if you just didn't make the boundaries clear. You give them the benefit of the doubt. And you find out that they're unwilling. They are not going to follow the boundaries. They are not going to respect what you need in that relationship. They are not willing to surrender their pride to do what it takes to be in relationship. There's compassion when they're incapable. Or if you wonder if it's incapability, there's compassion when it's unwillingness. It's grief. It's pain. It's anger. The people of Israel, the children of Israel, the people that God entered into covenant with, where he would be their God, they would be his people. They would live in a land flowing with milk and honey. There was plenty of land for them and their offspring and generations to come. And goodness would come. But when the goodness comes, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget who your God is. Don't turn hard-hearted and prideful and arrogant and then become deceived and then grab hold of anything that feels good around you and take and take and take and take without giving. God is fulfilling his promise because he is a good God. And when we see his anger, we have to know this is the wrath of God. This is justice. And in terms of relationship, we have to understand that the pain and the grief can produce anger. Anger can lead us to vengeance. We say justice, but we often overreach for vengeance. We want revenge. We want them to pay. We want them to hurt more than they have caused us to hurt. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Vengeance is not for us to pick up and say, well, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. God needs me to do his work for him. Vengeance is God's and God's alone. In order to break the cycle of revenge back and forth, we have to grieve. You have to mourn the loss, and you'll have to continually mourn the loss. You'll have to continually tell yourself, unwilling, not incapable. And you do that enough times to get to acceptance without reaching for revenge. It's a hard process. The book of Ezekiel is the tearing down and the hope of what is to come. But what is to come is the newness that God can bring. It cannot come without the surrender. It cannot come without the willingness to admit that we have a part to play. We were wrong. Father, forgive us. We turn from our ways and we surrender our pride, our arrogance, our thoughts, our ways, our ego, we surrender them to you. Only you can make something new of this. It pains me to think that people are out of relationship. I apologize. I'll probably get really emotional. Out of relationship because they're unwilling. Unwilling to do what is required. I can't imagine what this does to the heart of God when his people are unwilling to do what it is that is required to be in relationship with God in exchange for a superiority that we know everything about God, but yet we don't even know who He is. Jesus, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for this book that so vividly paints so many pictures for us. Harsh words, brutal depiction of an unfaithful woman and wife. But You love us enough to put it in those terms to get a hold of us and shake something within us. The power that we possess, even as women, the power that we possess with our beauty that we use for charm and for deceit and vice versa. It happens both opposite, but Your word depicts a woman. God, I pray for every person listening who wants to surrender their heart and their will to Yours. Some people think that they have, don't quite know what that means fully yet. We think we're trusting You, but we are in full control still. We're praying that You come and change somebody else, but we are still in full control. It makes no sense. God, help us to see the inconsistencies. Help us to see the hypocrisy in our own lives before we look at anyone else and point the finger. We surrender to You, to Your ways, to Your will, to Your thoughts, to Your deeds. Lead us into all truth, I pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender. Surrender.